츠 고.
What's up, Cedar Creek? It is 4th of July week. Well, it's not quite 4th of July, but it's that weekend where we start looking forward to hopefully great plans and hangouts with friends and some great fireworks. I know we are too. And as we were dreaming up the sounds of summer, thinking about this weekend, originally the idea was for my wife, Lauren, and I to team teach. And then as we got a little bit closer, as we started talking about the content, I think God put some things on my wife's heart that ended up becoming a message in and of itself. And so I'm really excited for you to experience her as we look at a song that maybe you've heard before, a popular summer song, and then unpack what God may be trying to say or the step that He's inviting us to take. So you're in for a treat this weekend. And so wherever you're at, will you please put your hands together for one of my favorite people on the planet, Lauren Snyder.
Well, I absolutely love Ben Snyder, and I think I speak for both of us when I say that we absolutely love our Cedar Creek family. It is a treat for me to be able to spend some time with all of you, whether you're joining us in person, online, or from Toledo Correctional. Thanks for carving out time to be with me, to be with all of us this weekend. And when Ben initially invited me to be part of this series, quite honestly, it was a bit of a head scratcher for me, because I'm not exactly a music person, and that feels like something a bit taboo to even announce or to share with you. I mean, I like music. I don't mind having it on when I'm going for a run or if somebody has it on in the car or something, that's fine, but I don't know the names of musicians or artists, and I certainly don't know song lyrics, especially if they were released after 2006, because that's when I became a mom. So when Ben asked me, I'm thinking, I can't even think of a song. And then he pitched the song that we get to listen to today, that we get to experience together. And he knew he had me hook, line, and sinker, because this song, my friends, is one of my absolute favorites. And so, without further ado, let's dive into a little trivia, a few fun facts to see if you can guess what song we get to experience today. All right, fact number one here. This song was recorded and released during the pandemic. So what's that tell you? It's a relatively new song. Okay, fact number two. The vocalists, there are two of them, they are separated in age by 49 years. A half a century separates these two vocalists by age. Okay, fact number three. This song won at the AMAs. Pardon me, and at the Billboard Music Awards in 2022. The AMA was for Collaboration of the Year, and at the Billboard Music Awards, they won for the top dance electronic song. So that tells you a little bit about the vibe of this song we get to listen to. Our next fact, one of the vocalists is godfather to 10 children. Godfather to 10 children. One of those children is John Lennon's son, and others of those children are the children of David and Victoria Beckham. So that tells you a little bit about the kind of crew he hangs out with. And finally, possibly the most researched fact out of all of them, this is a top dance in the kitchen song. I promise you, it's tried and tested. I have done the research myself. Friends, you are in for an absolute treat. Here we go with Cold Heart by Elton John and Dua Lipa.
Feel free to dance right there in your seats.
It's a human sign when things go wrong, when the scent of it lingers and temptation's strong. Passing through.
in February 2022, my friend Elaine and I, we scraped together all of our money and we bought tickets to go see Elton John at his farewell Yellow Brick Road tour. It was a bucket list life experience. We had a blast. And I actually have a video from that night where he was performing Cold Heart. The problem is there's a lot of movement because I was dancing and also I was singing in it, and I care about you guys far too much to expose you to all of that. So you get the picture. That's all you get from that night. It was a blast, and I hope that even if you didn't recognize that whole song, you enjoyed the beat and maybe you recognized a few of those lyrics. I wouldn't be surprised because that song is a mashup of four of Elton John's hits from over the decades. Those four songs, Where's the Shiraz, Sacrifice, Kiss the Bride, and of course, Rocket Man. Now, if you do know those songs, great. And if not, I think there's a little bit of the lyrics that probably will resonate with your heart and with your mind. So let's jump into those lyrics. First of all, part of the song says, cold, cold heart, hardened by you. Some things looking better, baby, just passing through. This is that age-old song of heartache and heartbreak at the hands of another person. It's when you find yourself hurting so badly and reflect back and think, oh, if I could just go back, I would do things differently. I would let that person pass by because the pain I'm experiencing, oh, it's just not worth it. I'm left with this aching soul. And so how does he respond? Well, the song goes on to say, and I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, 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 no. And this is what I should have said. Well, I thought it, but I kept it hid. This is his response to the pain, distancing himself as far as he can from it, galaxies away from it, thinking that that will somehow ease the pain and help make it feel better. And not only that, but putting on a mask, hiding, trying to resist that terrible, terrible feeling. I've done this, and maybe you have too. When we feel terrible, distance, masking, thinking that that will bring us the relief. But it just never does. And that's not the life that I want to live, the life where I'm so far away from everything that I can't experience the goodness that still exists. Well, I think there's one more part of the song that holds the deepest meaning of the entire song, and here it is. Shura, 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 no, 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 no. Okay, I actually have no idea what this part means, but it's a really fun word to say over and over again, and I didn't want to leave it left out. So there we go. But if we jump back into the rest of the song, what we're talking about is matters of the heart, because the heart matters. It matters to us, and it matters to God. And how do I know that? Well, because Scripture, God's word in the Bible, it is full of different parts and passages talking about our hearts. We're going to look at a couple here from the book of Proverbs, a book of wisdom and wise sayings. Let's jump into that. Proverbs 27:19 says, as a face is reflected in water, so the heart reflects the real person. If you had a chance to spend some time by water this summer, maybe you've been at the lake, maybe you've even been down at the Maumee River or someplace else in our little neck of the woods. On a calm day, when the water is smooth, if you look in that water, what you see is a pretty strong representation of yourself physically. But if you look inside and you look at your heart, what you see is your truest self, because our hearts are a reflection of our souls. That's what this is talking about. Another part of Proverbs, another wise saying says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. Well, I resonate with that. I've totally experienced those moments where I have joy filling my spirit, and it seeps into every nook and cranny of my life. It feels incredible. But I've also had those moments where I feel like my spirit is crushed and the life has been sucked out of me. It leaves my heart feeling cold. I don't want to stay stuck in that cold heart state because that makes us miss out on the beauty. We start to focus instead on the misery in life. To put it another way, a cold heart loses sight of goodness and inclines itself toward the gloom. A cold heart loses sight of goodness and inclines itself toward the gloom. Do you know anybody who tends to do this frequently? somebody who maybe skews negative most of the time, who walks into a room and tends to suck the energy out of it just with their negative presence, who can experience something fun and exciting but paint it all different shades of depressing. I can think of some people I've encountered, but it doesn't really do me good to think about all those people. I have to look at my own heart. Is this ever me? Is it ever me consistently in long seasons of life? Is it ever me in specific, sensitive areas and spaces of my life? For some of us, there are big and evident things that it makes so much sense that we would be dragged from the good to the gloom so easily. There are other things. They appear less big and less evident to the world around, but they're just as real to us, just as significant. Now, mental health certainly plays a role in this for a lot of people, for me included. I know for me, for the past couple decades, I have to keep an eye on it. I have to make sure that I'm talking to people that are healthy in my life, that love Jesus, counselors, my group, talking to them about what's going on in my head and in my heart. I have to exercise regularly. I have to take medication. So mental health is a real piece of this, for some more than others. But for all of us, whether mental health is a challenge or not, our hearts need attention. And they need attention, especially when we're facing two specific experiences. The first is weariness. It's when we're feeling worn out and tired. When we have emptied out as much as we have and we haven't been able to refill, at least to a point that we have any energy left. Maybe you've been working on a work project and you've invested so much time and energy and it finally rolls out to no fanfare. Does it even matter? Maybe you're the type of person who would move heaven and earth to serve the people around you. Friends, family, neighbors, even the stranger you run into on the street. But then when you need help, all of a sudden it seems like there's no one around to assist you. Maybe you're tackling a home project and you are on your fifth trip to Lowe's with no end in sight. You are weary. You are worn out. It feels terrible. Well, the other piece that could contribute to a cold heart is some kind of wounding, a hurt by someone or something. Maybe after years and years of investing in your marriage and really trying to make things work, you feel it splitting apart at the seams. Oh, that hurts. That's a wound. Maybe someone you care so much about is facing a diagnosis that's not good. You don't know what the future holds. That's a hurt that you're carrying and a wound. Maybe you got the degree, you applied for the job, you slayed the interview, and then somebody else got hired. That feels like a wound. That feels like a hurt that you're carrying. Weariness and wounding, those are things that can really affect our hearts. And even as I talk about this, I expect that there are some people who resonate. Some people are like, yeah, I'm feeling a little bit of both or one of those. And there might be some of you that hear this and you think, weary and wounded, not me, I'm fine. I'm fine. And maybe you are. I would also invite you to consider that maybe I'm fine is code for something else. You see, sometimes I'm fine means I actually don't want to deal with it, I'm fine. Or you're trying to say it's too painful, I don't want to acknowledge it, I'm fine. Or you're saying only weak people talk about their feelings, I'm fine. Well, in any of those cases, today might be a great day to take a little bit of a risk, to bring something to light, because once you do that, it has the opportunity to be healed. And you have the opportunity to move from a life of I'm fine to I am fulfilled. And friends, that is so much better. You see, our hearts don't accidentally heal. Instead, here's what happens. We start with negative thoughts. Things like, it will never, this always, I can't possibly. And those translate into negative feelings. Things like resentment, anger, frustration, fatigue. And then that rolls into negative actions. We indulge in bad habits. We treat others poorly. We build walls to prevent future hurt in our lives. Well, I don't want to be around other people who are living in this and stuck in this. And I don't want to be around myself when I'm living in that space and stuck in that. I think there's something better. And there's a girl who I saw on video about 10 years ago who has some helpful advice for me and probably for you too. So let's check this out.
You want me to help, Rose?
No, thank you. No, thank you.
What do you want me to do?
What about yourself? What about yourself? I'll do this one, so gonna do that. You drive! What about yourself? Go drive! Go!
I don't think I could put it any better than she did. Worry about yourself. Like, how many times would you like to look at somebody around you and say, worry about yourself? And how many times do we need to remind ourselves, worry about yourself? It can be so easy to think about what everybody else needs to do. What we need to do is remember that we can be concerned about other people. We can care so much about them, but we can only take responsibility for ourselves, our own hearts. I had a very appropriate and big opportunity to try this out and to test this out during our big family camping extravaganza. And I know you've heard Ben share plenty of little details about it, and I thought that today would be a good chance for me to take an opportunity and share a little bit of my perspective of the family camping trip. So going into the camping trip, I had some expectations. I knew that camping was not my cup of tea. I had never done anything even close to this. I'd slept in a tent less than a handful of times in my entire life, and most of those times it rained or I just hated it and I went back into the house. So when we set off on this trip, my expectations were that this was going to be very, very hard. And I was absolutely right. I was totally accurate in my expectations. It was very, very challenging. And so much of it comes down to the fact that there are two types of people in this world. There are campers and there are hotelers. Here's how you know whether you are a camper or a hoteler. Let's start with campers. Campers love being out under the big blue sky. The lure of the great outdoors and being able to live out in that for hours at a time, even overnight, that is so appealing to them that they are willing to endure things like skipping showers for days, checking for ticks every night before bed, and sleeping within arm's length of everyone in their household. They don't mind those things. They're not fazed by them. Good for you, campers. Hotelers, we are the sorts of people who might like the outdoors, but we also value showers that don't require tokens or flip-flops. We appreciate toilets that flush, and we also like doors, just a door. Friends, when I got home and could shut the door to my bedroom, and it was so quiet, and there was a big wooden piece between me and everybody else in my family, it was this amazing life experience. So I am a card-carrying member of the hotelers group of people. And so going into this camping experience, it was going to be hard, and it was hard just as expected. We experienced, like Ben told you last week, multiple van issues. We experienced a kid who chipped a tooth, a kid who got sun poisoning, a kid who had a bad cold. We experienced me breaking a toe as we were driving through Utah because one of my offspring way in the back dared to disbelieve me when I said, "Don't make me come back there." At any moment, there was at least one person who was emotionally dissatisfied with life. At any moment. But here's the thing. I was able to make it through. I kept telling myself, the only thing I can control is my own attitude. And as my dear friend Barb Bruce likes to say, I'm gonna stay in my hula hoop. Whatever is happening out there, I care about you, but I'm right here and I am okay. I am right in my hula hoop. It was hard work, but it worked. You see, just like physical health doesn't happen on accident, you have to attend to what you eat and how you sleep and how you move. Your heart doesn't get healthy on accident either. You have to put in some heart work, but that leads to the peace and the freedom and the goodness that you crave. I put it this way in the bottom line, heart work pays off. Your heart work pays off. And here's what I'm not suggesting. I'm not suggesting you have to do more, be more, work hard. What I'm trying to help you see is that you can look at your heart, and together with Jesus, you can make some significant progress in a way that leads to the life that you're craving. Jesus guides and empowers you every step of the way. And we're going to look at a passage of scripture where we're going to see an individual do some heart work with the help of Jesus. Let's see if you resonate with this type of person. This particular individual was somebody who was a hard worker. They were a take action sort of person, and they were usually right. So I resonate with all three of those things. And this person that we're going to look at today, her name was Martha. Martha is somebody, I've heard her stories, certainly as I've read through scripture, but I've always looked at her in individual accounts, rather than looking at the three distinct times that we see her name mentioned in an encounter with Jesus. And so when I sat down and looked at the whole trajectory of her experience with Jesus, it looked to me as if she was on a heart work journey. So let's jump right in to the first passage that talks about Martha and Jesus. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." What does this sound like? This sounds like weariness. Martha has been working, 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 giving everything she has, pouring it all out. She is exhausted. She is weary. And so there go the negative thoughts. I have to do all the work, and it's not fair. She has negative feelings, resentment. Why do I have to when they don't? Ugh. And finally, negative actions. She scolded Jesus. And now I know that there is no hierarchy to sin. Sin is sin. But if we were really going to make a list and put in order which sins were the worst, I really think that scolding Jesus would be pretty darn close to the top. This is Martha in this situation. But here's how Jesus responds to her. But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." I love the way Jesus refers to her, "My dear Martha." Now, he could have responded in a scolding tone. I know when I'm scolded or spoken to negatively, I'm really tempted to respond in the same type of way. But Jesus didn't do that. He had a loving redirect with Martha. Martha, come here. I see you. And he wants to ease her weariness. What does he want her to do? He wants her to release control. I said it, the C word, control. Because at the heart of weariness is a control issue. That's what it comes down to. It's those times when we are doing, doing, doing in order to make all the things just right. Maybe you see it in the upkeep of your home. If I just get everything, maybe it's with your kids. If I make them and get all the things, maybe it's the way you perform at work or at school. If I can just do everything, then it will be. But the reality is control never settles things to a point that brings us real peace. The only thing that brings us real peace is a surrender of our circumstances. And Jesus did invite Martha into that. "Martha, you can trust me. You can be perfectly imperfect. Like Martha, we can trust Jesus to fill in those gaps, those spaces that we can't do on our own." Do you have a space in your life that you're trying to control that's making you weary as you do that? Is there something you could surrender there? It's so challenging. But like our bottom line says, heart work pays off. In that surrender and allowing Jesus to control, that peace is right at the end of your fingertips. Well, there's a second encounter that Martha has with Jesus. And in that, we find out that Martha doesn't just have a sister Mary, but she also has a brother named Lazarus. And Lazarus is dying. He's very, very sick. And because Martha and Mary and Lazarus have a friendship with Jesus, and they know who he is, and they really do have a deep connection with him, they reach out to Jesus and they say, "Jesus, please come. Lazarus is dying. We need your help." They believed Jesus could do something, that his presence mattered in that situation. And here's what scripture says about Jesus. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. I don't know about you, but if I found out that a friend was dying, or I found out that somebody desperately needed help, I would drop everything and go. And it says that Jesus loved them, but he stayed where he was for 2 days. That feels perplexing. But then you read on. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. He'd already been dead for 4 days. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. Can you imagine Martha stomping out to Jesus? But Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask." If you remember back to that first encounter that we see with Martha and Jesus, she was struggling with weariness and control. And in this situation, she's feeling wounded and hurt. Her negative thoughts, you can imagine, are kicking in. If Jesus had been here earlier, in a struggle with negative feelings, sadness and frustration and deep grief and potentially negative actions. We don't know exactly what her tone is, but we know or can sense that there's probably a bit of a scold again. Jesus, if you had been here. But I wonder if we start to see growth even in this passage, because she says, "But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask." As if she's telling herself, okay, remember who he is, doing the heart work even then, right in that moment. The passage goes on. It says, "Roll the stone aside," Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested. "Lord, he's been in there for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." I appreciate her attention to the practical matters here. But Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" So again, Jesus is redirecting her. "Martha, Martha, your wounded heart needs to be healed, and you can trust me with that." I have a friend, Ellie, a mentor in my life, and she puts it this way. She says, "For this, insert anything you can't do on your own. For this, anything you can't do, even with the help of your friends. For this, we have Jesus." And Martha was experiencing that firsthand. "For this, the death of my brother, the pain and the hurt, the misunderstanding of why weren't you here, Jesus? For this, I have Jesus. He's our healer. So let's see what happens." They rolled the stone aside, and then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. And Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go." This is a twofold miracle. Clearly, we have the miracle of Lazarus being raised from the dead. It's incredible. But the other one that we can't miss is that Martha and others who were watching, they experienced a piece of Jesus, recognized what he could do and what that meant for them personally. And I think in that space, it was another opportunity for Martha to consider her heart and for a layer of ice to start melting off of that cold heart, to trust Jesus more deeply and experience more freedom in the process. That heart work, it pays off. Turning to Jesus in the weariness and in the wounding, it pays off. Well, there's a third encounter in scripture, and this is a much shorter one. In this one, we find out that 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he'd raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. The only thing it says about Martha is that Martha served. And no, I am not implying that a woman's role is quiet in the kitchen. And I don't think that this passage of scripture is trying to imply that either. Instead, as a footnote in my Bible put it, she had not stopped serving, but the Bible records her silence this time. She has begun to learn that worship begins with silence and listening. Instead of weariness, Martha had released control. Instead of operating out of a wounding, she'd received healing from Jesus. Instead of a heart that was hard and cold, her heart trusted her Savior Jesus. We see or can imply a change that is happening in her, from the Martha who was frantic and scolding to the Martha who was serving quietly. Positive thoughts, I'm okay. Positive feelings, a peace in doing what she was doing, and positive actions, using her gifts to make a difference in the way that was fulfilling her. Heart work paying off. Because attending to matters of the heart, it really matters. We're going to go back to another proverb, one that you've potentially heard before, one that is so helpful even to stick in your heart, to memorize, so that in times when you need it, God can help prompt it back to the surface. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Your heart work leads to a full life. Is that something you want? I have a feeling it is. And so now would be a great time for you to step into a little bit of heart work. And the first step in that is recognizing that you're not alone in it, that the God of the universe, your heavenly Father, is near right now, that he's right with you, that he already knows what you're thinking and feeling and doing, but that he wants to have a conversation with you about it. So what about you? Are you feeling weary? You're feeling worn out, like you have invested so much and you're just feeling empty? Is there potentially something in your life that you're trying to control and you need a little help releasing that control? Talk to God about that. Is there a wounding, a hurt inside of you that just feels painful no matter what you do? Do you need some healing in that space of your heart? Can you talk with God about that right now? And aside from God, even though he's going to be with you every step of the way, the amazing part about him is that he also provides other resources for you. People that love him, that can be his representation in your life as well. So as another step for you this week, is there somebody else you could talk with? Maybe a counselor, and if you need a list, we have a counseling referrals list. Maybe a group of people from here at church who love Jesus and want to help you grow, we can help you find a group. Who can you talk to this week about your weariness, about your wounding, about the control you'd like to release and the healing you'd love to experience? As you recognize yourself feeling weary or wounded, how can you engage in heart work to move from freedom, move toward the freedom and the fulfillment that your heart craves? The payoff is absolutely worth it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there are things in this life that are just too much for us. Things that leave us feeling weary, things that leave us feeling wounded. And God, we need your help. We need your help first to recognize what they are. So I pray that you'd speak to us and help us to see them clearly. Then we need courage to be able to bring them into the light, to confess them to you, to share them with people in our lives. And God, then the freedom to be able to release them to you and experience that peace and fulfillment that only comes from life with you. Help us to do that, Father. And thank you for loving us so much that you're with us every step of the journey. We love you, and it's in your name we pray.